It's Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Muscle Shoals is a tiny town in northern Alabama and the birthplace of some of the biggest hits in rock and roll history, from the Rolling Stones, Aretha Franklin, Bob Dylan, and Etta James.
That girl you had didn't have no sense. She wasn't worth all the time that you spent. She had other men throw you outdoors. Now the same man is wearing your clothes. I want you to tell mama all about it.
Each time a person went to Muscle Shoals, they came out of there with a hit record.
That singer Clarence Carter.
You had to know that there was something magic in Muscle Shoals.
That magic is what the new documentary Muscle Shoals is all about. The film explores the forces that came together there in the 1960s and 70s to create so many unforgettable songs. It opens the Boulder International Film Festival tomorrow night, and its director is from Boulder. Greg Kamelier spoke with CPR's Zachary Barr.
Greg, thanks for being here. Let's start with a question about you. Before you made this movie, what was your connection to Muscle Shoals and the music made there?
I loved it. I mean, growing up, I loved a lot of that music. One of the first albums I ever got, I was in sixth grade, and it was Lynyrd Skynyrd album.
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, gold and platinum. And I still remember how that album smells. It had a very pungent smell to it, the ink, I think, on the album, and had all the lyrics of all the songs in the back. But I loved music from an early age. I loved a lot of that music that was from Muscle Shoals. Fast forward years later as an adult, and I'm on a road trip with one of my childhood friends, who actually I knew from even before sixth grade, and we were driving through the South taking back roads. He was moving to New Mexico. We ended up in Muscle Shoals late one night, and then that next day sort of changed our lives, and the film was born out of that day.
And Muscle Shoals, this is in the northwest corner of the state.
Correct.
It's a small town, and it's pretty far away from any big city.
It really is.
Maybe Memphis might be the closest?
Memphis, yeah, and Nashville, about 2 hours to each of those. And yeah, exactly, which is just all the more fascinating that, you know, a lot of the other music in America, you know, St. Louis, New Orleans, Detroit, New York, Los Angeles, those are all very urban areas. But Muscle Shoals was a very rural area, not even, you know, close to any of these, you know, major urban areas. And so that's just all the more fascinating to the tale.
And as a music lover and as a sixth grader who had this Lynyrd Skynyrd album, did you know that this great volume of rock and roll hits came from Muscle Shoals?
No, when we drove there, we only knew Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Clarence, and I knew Clarence Carter had cut stuff there. And that was all I sort of knew from Muscle Shoals. And then when we rolled into town, we started researching Muscle Shoals, and we were like, holy cow, can you believe, you know, Aretha came here, and Wilson, and the Stones, and
this is
Traffic,
Aretha Franklin, and,
yes.
And Wilson Pickett.
Yes.
And all these people are in the movie.
Yes, a lot of them are.
Yeah. And perhaps the main reason Muscle Shoals becomes such a destination for so many up-and-coming and already famous artists is because a man named Rick Hall lives there. Tell us a little bit about who Rick Hall is.
Well, he's a fascinating character. He is a classic sort of American, determined to make it character who's, he's magnetic and he was driven. And he was dealt a lot of tough cards with a lot of tragedy in his life. And at the same time, he was determined to make it, to be someone, to make it in the music business. And he did that. And in that sense, he's really the father of that music scene in Muscle Shoals.
Now, Rick Hall's first hit as a music producer comes in the early 1960s. He hooks up with an unknown artist named Arthur Alexander, and they cut a song called You Better Move On.
Yeah, that's a fascinating story. Rick, he was a musician and been playing, and he wanted to get into producing and publishing. And Arthur Alexander was a local bellhop at the Sheffield Hotel, and he and Rick got together, and he said, I've got this song, and what do you think? And he played it for Rick, and Rick said, I think it's a hit. And he said, what do you want to do? And he says, I want to cut it. And Arthur said, when? And Rick said, tomorrow. And they cut that song, and it became a hit.
You asked me to go give up the hand of the girl I love. You tell me I'm not the man she's worthy of. But who are you to tell her who to love? That's up to her. Yes, and the Lord above. You better move on.
They got a lot of exposure. Rick got money off of that as well, and he sunk that money into building a new studio, and he built Fame Studios, which is still standing there today, which then propelled him, and he kept cutting more and more hit records.
And another musician who records at Rick Hall's Fame Studios in these early days is Percy Sledge.
Right. Percy is another local character, grew up right 10 miles outside of Muscle Shoals in a little town called Leedon. He was an orderly who worked in the hospital there, and another local guy had heard him singing, and they cut When a Man Loves a Woman.
That, of course, is Percy Sledge's classic tune from 1966, When a Man Loves a Woman. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Greg Kamelier. He's a Boulder filmmaker. His new movie explores the history of Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This is a place where that Percy Sledge song and so many other memorable rock tunes came to life. Greg, in your movie, musicians say there's something called the Muscle Shoals sound. What is that? Can you describe it?
Well, that's a tall order, and I would just have one opinion on the Muscle Shoals sound, and all these other guys have their own opinion. There are some definitely common themes, though, I think, among the answers. One would be heavy bass and heavy drums. I think that's definitely part of the Muscle Shoals sound. To me, I always thought it was had a rawness to it. You could sense the sort of breathing musicians in the room, real earthy sort of rawness to the sound.
Let's listen to a song that exemplifies that.
So many great ones, but Kenny Staten's I'd Rather Be an Old Man's Sweetheart is a great track.
You may think I'm silly to love a man twice my age, but I know from experience, girls, sometime it pays. The man I've got, the fire's almost gone. He can't heat up nobody's house. He got just enough to keep me.
Now, interestingly, the backup band on so many of these hits is the same group of guys. They're all from the Muscle Shoals area. And there's a running joke in the movie about their race. Here's Bono from U2, the band U2, telling his version of the joke.
People have arrived at Muscle Shoals expecting to meet these black dudes. And they're a bunch of white guys that look like they worked in the supermarket around the corner.
Describe this group of white guys who look like they work at the supermarket.
Well, it's a very accurate description, and it's one of the sort of other fascinating components to the story of different races working together in a time of you're basically, you know, you got to remember this is in Alabama, you know, one of the hotbeds of the belly of the beast of this country during the civil rights movement. And so what was very special about these guys, what they did and their sound and the music they made, was that you had black and white musicians and producers coming together in the studio making this music. And, you know, in the beginning, we thought, well, there must have been, you know, a lot of racism going on in the studio. And we began our interviews. And as we interviewed, you know, just when we, you know, got into like our 10th, 11th interview with these guys, you know, it really became apparent that, you know, inside the studio, and outside the studio, between these group of individuals, they were colorblind. There wasn't racism. And it was just a beautiful thing when you think about what was going on in Alabama in that time. And then ironically, their sound was it sounded funky. It sounded African-American to a lot of the public. They just had this sound that at the time was identified with sort of black rhythm players. But the truth is that this rhythm section that was playing behind these black artists was white guys. And they did look like they worked at the grocery store. They still do look like they worked at the local grocery store.
So let's listen to something that really fooled the public. What's a good track?
Boy, Mustang Sally by Wilson Pickett. I mean, that's a classic.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow your
Wilson Pickett, who you just heard there, appears in the movie, but through archival footage because he died a number of years ago. But, you know, scores of living musicians, really famous musicians, agreed to be interviewed for this movie. Mick Jagger, Alicia Keys, Aretha Franklin, Greg Allman, many, many more. How did you convince them to take part?
I think because of the story, you know, they came out in service of the story. This is a well-known story amongst musicians, and it's one also that's never had its day in the sun. And so musicians sort of love to honor those who came before them, especially sort of iconic, you know, seminal parts of sort of music history and American music history. So they came out, I think, because of the story.
Well, give us one last tune that we haven't talked about that just to go out on.
Boy, so many great songs. Boy, the song Simple Man from Lynyrd Skynyrd is such a great song. They went up there to cut their first track of that. It's a great track, and it brings chills every time I still hear it and makes me think of Muscle Shoals.
Mama told me when I was young, sit beside me, my only son.
Greg, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Listen closely to what I say. And if you do this, it'll help you some sunny day.
Greg Kenler speaking to CPR Zachary Barr. His documentary Muscle Shoals plays tomorrow night in Boulder. It's the opening film at the Boulder International Film Festival.